Hello, everyone.
Hi.
It's us, and we're back.
Yes.
We're back. It's episode 84 of Catnaps in Cognac.
Wow, 84.
84.
Getting closer to my year.
Yeah. And we are your hosts. I am Dee Dee.
And I'm Arielle.
And again, this is Catnaps in Cognac. If you are a return listener, thank you so much for coming back and listening to us. And if this is your first time checking us out, we want to welcome you. And
yeah.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said yeah, sure.
You have a lot of catching up to do if this is your first episode.
Definitely.
But so you
can delight yourselves in us.
Yes, and we hope that you enjoy it, and we'll go back and listen to the other 83. You know, it was nice out today.
Oh my gosh, it was so nice. That was like the icing on the cake. Today was like perfect.
Yeah, I wish it was like this all the time because
me too.
Over the weekend and Halloween, it was cold as heck.
And rainy.
Yeah, cold, rainy, yucky. So this was a nice change of pace and weather. Anywho, well, I guess, you know what? We might as well just get into the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, for our rumor mill, our boy Chris Brown, he always loves to make a big fuss. So a few days ago on the talk show The Real with Tamar Braxton, Adrian Mylon, Tia Mowry, and a couple other people, they were talking about how people should stay out of other people's relationships unless it's like your friends and they're in a not so good relationship. Like, what do you do? Do you speak up and say that they shouldn't be in that relationship or whatever? So they happened to bring up the relationship of Karrueche and Chris Brown. And we all know Chris Brown has had tons of problems in the past. He recently got out of jail this summer. So they had a few things to say about it, specifically Adrienne Bailon. She was saying that, like, you know, if your friend is in like a high profile relationship and you are going to be the one to benefit from their relationship, meaning like, you know, if you're going out, they're going to bring you along and you're going to be able to do all this cool stuff. Chances are if you're not that good of a friend, you'll reap those benefits. Tamar was saying, like, Chris Brown, like, she didn't say anything bad about Chris Brown, so I can't remember what she said, but it was nothing bad. But whatever they said, Chris Brown wasn't feeling it, and he went on his Instagram, and he put up a picture of Adrienne Bailon. It was a beautiful picture, by the way,
mm-hmm, which is kind of fun.
And he said, "Bring that ass here, boy, Adrienne Bailon, you old trout mouth ass bee. You tried it. Wasn't you the same B that was effing with married men? You was also keeping up with the Kardashians. You can't talk about relationship goals when you don't have life goals. Ain't you a cheater, girl? Last time you was important, N-words was riding spinners and wearing 6X tall tees. You the same B having threesomes with the rest of these hoes. You tried it too, Tamar Braxton. You take the role of the ugly sister. It's always the people with no career that talk all the ish. That plastic surgery effed your face up. B look like she's always saying, huh? Muppet face ass. Basic bitch B problems." Trying not to cuss y'all. He said, "I don't even have a photo for Tamar, but she is beat in every single photo." So it was like, whoa, like, what is your problem? Because what they said wasn't bad. And they're a talk show. Like, they're meant to talk about different issues that are going on. So Tamar gave her response, and she pretty much said that, you know, we're a talk show, and, you know, I didn't really speak ill of you. Every time I see you or whatever, I'm going to still be cordial. So Chris Brown released an apology, non-apology, today on his Instagram. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did.
So he said, this is what he said. He said, "Yesterday's roast was amusing to some and disrespectful to others. All in all, the whole shit was childish. I could have been politically correct and went about the situation more civilized, but I'm not fake, nor do I need to ever comment on anyone's life. I felt the need to say what I felt. It seems everyone can always have an opinion on Chris Brown and chime in whenever they want. The show was depicting relationships. They gave their views on my relationship by bashing my significant other for being with me publicly on national television. There are too many pots calling the kettle black. I know that with me being a public figure and one of the best at what I do, it's more of a story to talk about. It comes with the territory. Like I said before, I say what I feel and what I want, especially if anyone has an opinion about me and mine. Some days I'll be cool, and other days I'm a roasty ass. So this isn't an apology. This isn't an apology for yesterday. Just a reflection. People, live your life. You'll mess around and go blind looking at me all the time. Hashtag Team Breezy ain't with the bullshit.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
You know, I think what he said, it was pretty childish the way that he reacted. However, y'all know that he's going to act like this. And, I mean, I get it. I do kind of understand where he's coming from as far as, like, people are always picking at him in this relationship. Like, he hasn't treated this girl bad at all from what we know. Right. He always claims her. He's like, this is my girl. This is my significant other. Like, he seems to be pretty respectable to this girl. But still, people are always, like, you know, always analyzing this relationship. And I get it. I get why he's upset. So anything would have set him off, even if they would have said that, you know, just something really trivial about this relationship. I'm sure he probably would have blown it way out of proportion. Now, with Adrian Bailon, like I said before, Adrian and Chris Brown, they run in similar circles, and that circle is very small. And clearly, he knows some stuff about her that he could lay bare for her. So when you have someone who has that kind of information on you, you got to tread lightly. You got to tread lightly. So they start talking about Chris Brown and Carouge. You didn't bring it up. You just say, you know, I think as soon as they say, yeah, and, you know, like Chris Brown and Carouge, you just turn around and say, you know, we've all had a friend like that, or been that friend that, you know, has been in that relationship and things like that. That's all you need to do.
Right.
You need to make it very general. Don't talk about anybody in specifics, because that's when you open the floodgates. As soon as you start talking about specifics or saying things about their friends, like, I mean, I think that's kind of shitty to say that she's got these quote unquote friends that are basically benefiting from Chris Brown's, you know, celebrity. So they're not going to say anything to her just so that they can get into the club. What the fuck kind of friends are those? Those right. are not friends. Those are not friends. If that's what you're trying to say, Adrian, that she runs with those kind of people, those people are not her friends. So if she wanted to go on that route, she should have stuck with that. Like, you know, people like that, sometimes you have, you know, people in your life who are not necessarily your friends and won't tell you the real deal just so that they can benefit from, you know, your relationship or things that you have going on in your life. She should have went that route. So I think it was all just really petty and childish. However, I laughed my head off because Chris Brown cracks me up. I'm sorry. It was funny to me. A lot of people found it very disrespectful, and it was. But to me, I still laughed at it because I was just like, wow, you need to know your role and stay in it, because y'all know Chris is crazy and he will pop off.
Yeah.
And you got to be prepared for the pop off. I get it. Yeah, it's a talk show and we have to talk about these kind of things and da 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 da. But again, Adrian, remember, you run in a very small and similar circle to Chris Brown. You gotta watch what you say. You gotta tread lightly.
Yeah. I feel like the situation didn't really need any specific examples.
Yeah.
To your point, like, it's a situation that we all know.
Right.
Like, we all know about friendships. That's something that's easily relatable. So it wasn't really necessary to bring up Chris Brown and something like that. Like, they could have easily brought up, like, if you had to bring someone up, like Jay-Z and Beyonce, or just as an example.
Or
like,
Robert Downey like, Jr. Like, and all of his women, or, you know?
Right, like, you know, imagine if you were friends, or even if you can say, like, imagine if you were friends with Chris Brown or whatever. Like, they didn't really need to talk badly or, like, any really mean specific things about their relationship, and they can still make their point.
Right. I mean, because they did say at one point they were talking about toxic relationships, though, right?
Yeah.
So when you say that, and then you segue into Chris Brown, you're basically saying that this relationship that he has with Karrueche, however you pronounce her name, is toxic. So that's why he got upset. And I get that. Like, golly, can I just live? Can I just be with my girl and just, you know, be? How do you know that our relationship is toxic? These people really don't know the inner workings of their relationships.
Right.
So for them to say that it's toxic, you don't know that. You don't know what you're talking about. And so that's why he popped off. I mean, and I understood it. However, the way that he handled the situation was very childish and very petty. And then, you know what? With Tamar, even though her response was boring, I would rather her have not have even responded to him at all. And just kept it cute.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, Tamar, her and her family, like, they have so many, I don't say skeletons, but so many things that don't come out since the show and so many things that
right.
are still coming out. So she could have definitely, I don't know. Why do you have to talk about that anyway?
Right. Exactly. At the end of the day, why did y'all have to talk about that? At the end of the day, that's the baseline here. Why'd y'all have to talk about that? At the end of the day. Child. Anywho.
So what's in your rumor mill?
Oh, well, it's not even a rumor. It has been proven true.
Yeah, these are proven rumors.
Yeah, these are proven rumors. This is basically we just spilling some tea over here. So, I don't know if you guys have heard, but Tamika Tiny Harris got her eye color permanently changed to ice gray. So a couple of weeks ago she posted an Instagram post and shortly thereafter deleted it, but she posted a picture of herself with these clear glass eyes, and she was saying, you know, thank you to Dr. Muhammad. I don't know if that was his name, but we're gonna say that's his name for now. Thank you, Dr. Muhammad and Bright Ocular, for giving me the eye color that I've always wanted for a very long time. I'm just paraphrasing here. For a very long time, I was always wearing contacts and I hated it, but now I don't have to wear contacts and I have my beautiful ice gray eyes now. And here is a coupon code to put onto the website so that you can get a discount when you go and get your eye color changed as well. Eye color change, you ask? Yes. She got her eyes permanently changed to ice gray. Now, I looked it up because there's Baller Alert, and these people who work for Baller Alert or people who send in stuff to Baller Alert clearly do not have anything to do all day, and they just stay on Instagram and screen cap stuff. So someone screen capped it, sent it to Baller Alert, and then that's how I found out the name, or that's how we all found out about the name of the company that she used, and it's Bright Ocular. So I did some research and I YouTubed it, and I watched the surgery and everything, and it's like a 10-minute procedure per eye, and they make like a slit in your eye, and they have like this rolled up plastic piece of stuff that is like the shape of an iris, and then they insert it into the incision, and then it like unfolds. And there you have it. Boom, you have new eye color. And this procedure is not offered in the United States. So Tiny had to go all the way to Africa to get her eye color changed.
Mm-hmm.
She went to, I don't know if she went to Tunisia, but from the video, I saw a video of a guy and he said that he went to Tunisia. And he was talking about how like he paid for the surgery and how they put him up in a 5-star hotel, kind of like the way that they do with the plastic surgery in Colombia, where you pay $3,000 to get lipo and a boob job for $3,000, but that includes your flight and your stay there for 6 days and the surgery for $3,000, or surgeries because it's boobs and lipo. So it's similar to that, and like a limo picks you up from the airport, takes you to a 5-star hotel, you have your procedure done, you stay at the 5-star hotel, three meals a day, all that stuff. And the guy on the video, he was saying how he was talking to other people who were staying at the hotel, and he found out that, you know, other people were paying 3-4 times more than he was paying to stay at that hotel. But that's because they have this deal with the people who do the eye surgery. Anywho, so then Tiny was on Good Morning America, believe it or not, talking about her eye surgery. I was like, Good Morning America? Are you kidding me? And she was talking about the healing process. And, you know, she said that at first her husband, Clifford Tip Harris, was at first a little, you know, standoffish and, you know, asked her why she's doing that. But once she got the surgery done, he really loves it. He loves it. That's what she said. He loves it.
Okay, girl.
Mm-hmm. You know, anyway. What do you think about that?
Well, I watched the clip of the Good Morning America, mm-hmm. and, I mean, just my personal feelings about it, is I'm a little freaked out because, you know, I wear glasses, and I think all the time, like, oh, I want to get, you know, LASIKs or something like that, but it's like, this is your eyeballs, you know what I mean? Like, one small slip, and you could be blinded for life.
Right.
And if something, I mean, there's tons of things that aren't legal in the United States, but they do a lot of stuff here. So just the fact that they're not doing permanent eye color surgery in the United States is like a red flag to me. Like, you have to fly all the way over to another country to get this done, and no shade, but like in Africa, like what? Like, I'm sorry, but like, who goes to Africa to do anything, to have any type of surgery?
Right.
So it's like, it's a little crazy to me that she went and got that done. I mean, if she wants different color eyes, then that's her business. But just like from a health perspective, that seems, it's just really scary.
Right. And there's no like longitudinal studies to know the effects, the long-term effects on this stuff on your eyes. Like, who knows? This shit could start to corrode. You could start to fucking go blind. Who knows? It could start to peel and want to come out of your eye. Like, who knows what's going to happen? I think it's really crazy to do that. You know what? I knew that this was going to be coming soon. That this was going to come soon. That people are going to be able to change their eye colors and things like that. Like, soon it's going to be like some way where you can go in and get like, molecularly get your DNA changed, and then now you can look like somebody else. Like, you can be a completely different person now. You don't have to have the same nose, same lips, same boobs, same butt, same legs, same ears, because if your ears stick out, you can get them surgically sewn back so that your ears don't stick out like a monkey anymore. So, and now you can change your eye color permanently. Right. It's wild. I think it's kind of creepy. And you know, the internets haven't been very nice to Tiny since she got it done.
I mean, the internet was never really nice to Tiny.
You're right.
But this is just the, it's just like the way she is, it's just the way she went about it. Like, I just want a new eye color, so I just changed my eyes. Like, what?
Right.
What, are you serious?
Right.
Like, you just said it like you went to the store to go get some new clothes.
Exactly. Girl, this is not a weave.
Right.
She made it sound like she just got an eyeball install. No, ma'am. Yeah, I don't like the her cavalier candidness about it. It's just like, ugh.
That's the only, I guess, issue besides the health effects that I took with it. Like I said, you can do what you want to do, and I hope that her eyesight will be great forever. I really do.
And I really hope that this will make her feel good about herself.
Yeah.
Now that she's finally got it done, because she seems like she was very happy to now have the ice gray eyes that she's always wanted. So hopefully now this will stop. No more plastic surgery. No more lips done. No more tummy tucks. No more booty injections. No nothing. Hopefully she's happy now. Because at this point right now, she's basically another person.
Mm-hmm.
She is another person.
Like, you have to change on your license that you have ice gray eyes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because your license says, you know, your eye color on it. Well, now they're not brown anymore. They're blue now, or ice gray.
Ice gray. There's no such color. You know what I'm saying?
Like, not real.
Like, it's like she has blue gray eyes. Like, you look like a husky. Like, your eyes look like a husky. And that's to a dog.
Well, you know what? You wouldn't be the first one to compare her to a dog.
I've never seen that color eyes on a person before.
I've seen it on white people. I've definitely never seen it on anybody black.
The only person I know that I've ever seen with gray eyes is Tyra Banks. Doesn't she have, like, gray eyes?
No, she has, her eyes are green.
Green? They're green?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hers are.
I don't know nobody.
Well, the only person I know as far as being black, having eyes anywhere close to that that white of blue is Vanessa Williams.
Yeah.
That's it. And her brother. And then also, or those people, Michael Ealy, those kind of people, but their eyes are still have a little bit more pigment. Like, hers are almost white.
Yeah, it's freaky. Like, get your Twilight behind eyes. Talking about next.
Oh, my God. She said she looks like a husky. Now, that was funny. She does look like a husky. Also, somebody said that, this was really mean, but somebody made, like, an Instagram post, and, like, they made it so, like, it was, like, a poster of selling puppies, or red-nosed puppies, and they were, like, and it was a picture of Tiny, and it said $250 each, ice gray red-nosed pit bulls. And they were like, they said that they can be very nervous. Make sure to keep them away from other breeds, especially boxers. Look, when I read that, I was on the floor because that was so clever. Keep them away from boxers. What's his name? What's the guy's name that was messing with T.I.? Floyd Mayweather? It was cracking me up because there's actually a breed of dog called boxers.
Yeah.
So I was dead to the bit. I was like, this is actually pretty funny. And then they used the Mike Jones phone number to call Tip Harris.
What? 281-330-8004. Oh, my goodness.
Or you could call 911-0024. It was quite funny. I thought it was pretty funny. But like I said, I just hope now that Tiny is happy with herself, and when she looks in the mirror, she's happy. She has her nice full lips, she has her ice gray eyes, she's got her boobs, she's got her small waistline because she's been waist training, and she has her big butt. I hope she's happy.
I cannot.
Woof. So apparently in 2015, emojis are supposed to be including more diverse skin tones.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, because they're responding to users' complaints about a lack of characters whose skin reflects the variety of people who use smartphones. The group that sets technical standards is adding 5 more shades to the mix. The Unicode Consortium had previously backed only one skin color, a yellow-orange tone that it considered generic, but it threw away that approach after a wide call for more variety. If you're late to the emoji party... Because I know, do they have, y'all have emojis on droids now, right? You can see squares.
Yeah. They just look a little different.
They do look a little different. If you're late to the emoji party, they're the characters that use faces and other human-like images to express emotions and ideas. The new plan lets people use emojis that look like them, and they'll also be able to make groups of emojis in which the faces don't look like one another. The change that would take effect next year, and this is how the consortium explains it. People all over the world want to have emojis that reflect more human diversity, especially for skin tone. The Unicode emoji characters for people and body parts are meant to be generic, yet following the precedents set by the original Japanese carrier images, they are often shown with a light skin tone instead of a more generic inhuman appearance, such as a yellow-orange color or a silhouette. Unicode's version 8.0 is adding 5 simple modifier characters that provide for a range of skin tones for human emojis. These characters are based on the 6 tones of the Fitzpatrick scale, a recognized standard for dermatology. There are many examples on this scale online, such as the Fitzpatrick skin type PDF. And the exact shades may vary between the implementations. I didn't even know that there was a Fitzgerald's guide to skin color.
Me neither.
Or Fitzpatrick, whatever. Fitzpatrick, Fitzgerald, somebody.
Do they call us chocolate?
I don't know what they call us, but I'm going to click on it and find out. It's something in Australia. Okay. Okay, so skin type 1, it's someone who's very fair. And they score 0 to 6. So you have to like do a test. And on the test, it asks you your eye color. Do you turn brown? What's your natural hair color? How brown do you get? Your skin color that's unexposed, what it looks like. Is your face sensitive to sun? Do you have freckles in unexposed areas? How often do you tan? If you stay in the sun too long, what happens? And when was your last tan? So depending on, and then each answer has like a score. So between scores 0 and 6, that's skin type 1, and it's always burns, never tans, pale white skin. Skin type 2 is 7 to 13. Always burns easily, tans minimally, white skin. 14 to 20, skin type 3, burns moderately, tans uniformly, light brown skin. 21 to 27 is skin type 4, burns minimally, always tans well, moderate brown skin. 28 to 34 is skin type 5, which rarely burns, tans profusely, dark brown skin. And, oh my God, 35 plus, skin type 6, never burns, deeply pigmented, dark brown to black skin. No one has black skin. So Fitz, no one has black skin, Fitzpatrick. Okay, so I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about. Nobody has black skin. Nobody has black eyes. Nobody has black hair.
No.
Nothing.
You just got deep, dark brown.
Yeah, deep, deep, dark brown. You should have left it at that. Deeply pigmented, dark brown, and that's that. Nobody has black skin. Ew. Anyway, so that's how you figure out the Fitzpatrick skin type. Yeah, so I'd like to see emojis that look like me and not these yellow people.
I mean, the time has definitely come. It's just like, you know, everyone needs something that looks like them, especially when we use these things so often. Like, none of us are Simpsons characters. We're not yellow.
Right.
So, and then when it comes to, like, the actual people characters, like, I'm sure that the people who develop these emojis, I'm assuming that they're actually not white.
No, they were Japanese.
Exactly. So it's like, they don't even look like you.
Right. However, I've heard that Asian people have this really big complex and want their skin to be whiter than they are.
Well, I mean, then y'all need to make some emojis that look like Michael Jackson. Because
Oh, child. Yeah. So, like, I heard about this from a Chinese person, not a Japanese person, but they told me how, like, people have these surgeries to widen their eyes, and they also, like, bleach their skin so that their skin can be more white.
Yeah.
So, maybe this was manifesting in the emojis.
Could be.
Still, we need colors that look like us, damn it. Yeah. Okay? And it's about...
some more brothers on the wall.
It's about damn time. Tired of using the moon.
Where are the brothers on the... Tired of using the moon.
Yeah, I always use that moon face.
I never use that one.
That shit is creepy. Like, why is it making that face?
I asked someone, I was like, what is this about? And I think they said that it was like the creep face.
It's definitely a creep face.
Well, Lena Dunham made a stink this past weekend. Actually, she didn't make a stink, but it was some website called Truth Revolt. They, I guess, read some parts of her book that's called Not That Kind of Girl. It's her memoir, however you say it. And she explains that she pretty much, like, you know, did some sexual things to her sister when she was young. So she pretty much said that she, like, forced herself to, like, kiss her in a sexual predator type way. Like, those are her exact words.
Right.
She, you know, masturbated while laying next to her. And then when she was 7 and her sister was 1, she spread open her vag and looked inside, pretty much. And then she was, like, horrified when she found pebbles in there. So, like, all of this is just, like, completely gross and disturbing. And Lena Dunham took offense to it. Like, but first of all, it's like, ma'am, you wrote this.
Right.
In your own memoir. Like, no one's twisting your words or anything like that. She sent like a cease and desist.
Oh yeah, because this website called her a sexual predator. They said that she sexually abused her sister.
Yeah, that's what they said,
and she was upset about that.
Yeah, she was upset about it. So like, she went on her Twitter account, and she was like, "This right wing news story that I molested my little sister isn't just LOL. It's really effing upsetting and disgusting." But it's like, ma'am, what's upsetting and disgusting about it? Like, you tell us. Actually, you told us. You know what I'm saying? And then she said, and by the way, if you're a little kid and never looked at another little kid's vagina, well, congrats to you.
You know, that tweet right there is, I mean, of course, all of this is disgusting, but that tweet right there, like, girl, no. You're making it sound like this is something that I don't like to say normal children, but right. You make it sound like this is something that children all over are doing. Like, we all just look at each other's private parts and our vaginas and stuff like that. No. Where was your mother? Where was your mom? Where was your dad?
In her memoir, she said that she told her mom that she looked at it. She was like, Mom, there's pebbles and grains.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah, she said she shrieked.
Like, didn't think twice about it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, this girl has no boundaries. Well, her sister tweeted as well, because it's like, this isn't the first time that Lena has talked about her sister. Lena outed her sister as a lesbian to her parents. Grace didn't even have the, didn't have that privilege to even do that. So it's like, obviously they, like, and she said in the past that, like, you know, her sister pretty much, like, she uses her for entertainment. Like, she blurs the line between her life and her sister's life. And to me, that's not cool. But Grace said on her Twitter account, heteronormativity deems certain behaviors harmful and others normal. The state and media are always invested in maintaining that. As a queer person, I'm committed to people narrating their own experiences, determining for themselves what has and has not been harmful. Today, like every other day, is a good day to think about how we police the sexualities of young women, queer, and trans people. Ma'am, I personally feel like her sister's PR put her up to that.
Definitely.
Because it's like, nothing about that, honestly, was talking about, like, you know, maybe people have made the, you know, the judgments or assumptions that, like, because of what Lena Dunham has done to her sister, that, like, now she's gay for that reason. But even still, like, even if she wasn't gay or whatever, it's like, this isn't cute behavior. Like, this isn't childish behavior. Like, this is completely unacceptable.
Right.
And I'm certainly not feeling her sister's response. So, I mean, like, if she's, obviously, she has to be cool with her sister because they're sisters and they are out together and all the other kind of stuff, but it's like, people need to teach boundaries to their children so they don't go through this stuff to begin with.
I agree.
You're not going to out me to my family or out me to the public, or you're not going to tell my stories to someone else. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, the whole situation is just crazy in itself, and it's disgusting and disturbing.
Right.
And, oh yeah, P.S., I'm never going to watch Girls again.
Neither am I. I mean, like, and she touched on something about, like, what damages children. Like, she's damaged because of this. And maybe Lena Dunham may not have known what she was doing as far as, well, she did know, because she said that she used to purposely, like, give her bad news so that her sister could depend on her and felt like she was the most important person that she needed.
Like, ma'am, this is like some real abuse. Like, this is like literally abusive behavior.
Right. So Lena Dunham knew what she was doing. However, I don't know if she knew the repercussions of what she was doing. Like, if this was going to follow her throughout her life. So, yeah, me personally, I do believe that the things that Lena Dunham did to her sister are, look, I can't say with 100% certitude, and I told my friends this earlier, I can't say with 100% certitude that Lena Dunham's sister, what is her name? Grace?
Her name is Grace, yes.
That Grace was not born homosexual, but I'm going to say I'm 99% sure that the trauma that she endured at the hands of her sister played a role in what she thinks is normal, like, and how she relates sexually to people.
Yeah.
I feel like that what her sister did to her really changed the way that she thinks. Not that there's anything wrong with being gay. There's nothing wrong with it. But I do believe that the things that happened to her shaped her in a way. It's really here, nature versus nurture. And she was nurtured into becoming a lesbian. That's what I feel. That's what I feel. I don't feel it was nature here. I feel it was nurture. And it was at the hands of Lena Dunham. And Lena Dunham plays this, they plays it off as if like, oh, it's not, that this isn't something taboo. And I believe in my heart of hearts that Lena Dunham was the one who put the rocks inside the girl's vagina. Babies do not put things inside their private parts. They put things in their mouths.
Right. Like, why would that be there?
Okay. So she's not just going to sit there and put it. I'm sure that Lena was the one who put the stuff in there and is still trying to make sure that she doesn't get in trouble. Because this all sounds like Hannah. Everything is Hannah.
I'm personally convinced that Hannah is Lena Dunham.
For sure.
Like,
they're one and the same.
Homegirl doesn't accept responsibility for what she's done.
Right.
Homegirl passes judgments to others because there have been that site that pointed out the fact that, like, inconsistencies in her feminism talk and all this other kind of stuff. Like, she doesn't practice what she preaches. And just the fact that, like, she feels the need to be so invested in other people's lives where she can just literally write their own narrative. Like, that's not cool.
Right.
That's not happening. And I'm not doing that to her.
Right. It just seems like Lena is this the selfish, self-centered, you know, I don't care about anybody else but me person that she wrote about in For Girls.
Yeah.
She is that girl. And you know what? I've always said that about people who write these, like, those sick and twisted shows that we watch on TV. I'm like, if someone could think this, they could do it.
Yeah.
And so if Lena Dunham can think this, she could do it. And clearly she is doing it. She's living it. She is it. It's gross. I never want to watch Girls ever again.
I can't. Like, right now, I'm just taking, like, it's now that we're older and, like, just the fact that, like, you know, back then, people didn't have these platforms so they could say whatever they wanted to. Like, chances are, if we're going to read someone's memoir, it's going to be ghostwritten by someone else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, number one, like, where were these editors who read her book before it was published?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, like, publishing house, like, get it together.
Did they read it? Because I couldn't be a publisher and say, yes, I'm going to publish this book. No, ma'am, no, sir. Unless... Right. Did she self-publish this book? Because this is outrageous. No, honestly, you could not bring this book to me as a publisher and me say, yes, I'm going to sell it. Because what you're saying here that you did in this book, maybe, yeah, you were a child, but as an adult, you are not remorseful for the things that you did to your sister. And she was not 7 years old when she was masturbating with her sister in the bed. She was older than that. So she had plenty of sense.
Right, because who's, you're not masturbating as a seven-year-old.
Right. Unless you're still stuck in that phallic stage, which is that you grow out of that. But, I mean, with her being weird and stuff, and then, like, her parents are kind of weird, too. Like, her dad, like, all he draws is pictures of women and their fluffy vaginas. You know what? Fuck it. I can't talk about this anymore.
Okay, let's move on. Because, like, this is highly disturbing, and I'm just not a fan of people who can't take responsibility
for their actions. Me either.
And it's, like, this whole privilege thing that comes about when, like, things like this happens, because let it have been you or me.
Ooh, girl.
Let it have been Chris Brown. Like, let it...
Exactly.
Anybody else. You know what I'm saying? And it's, like, I'm pretty sure we're not going to call Lena Dunham a molester or a child abuser or even a weird sexual kid for the rest of her life.
Or maladjusted or a sociopath.
Right.
Enough.
Next.
Moving on. Okay, so moving on to today, I learned.
Okay.
What did you learn today, Ari?
Well, today I learned, we all know about the songs that get stuck in our head, and I believe we talked about this in one episode, right?
Yeah, we definitely did.
Yeah, about how songs get stuck in our head. But apparently, there is a list of the world's catchiest songs. Did you click the link? Don't click the link.
I have not.
What would you think that the world's catchiest song is?
The world's catchiest song?
Yeah. And I wish I would have said this out loud because when I saw it, I guessed it. And I was right.
Happy Birthday?
No. That's a good guess, though. Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the number one world's catchiest song. For the top 10, Mama number 5 by Lou Vega is number 2. Eye of the Tiger by Survivor is number 3. Lady Gaga's Just Dance at number 4. SOS by ABBA at number 5. Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison at number 6. Michael Jackson Beat It came in at number 7. I'll Always Love You by Whitney Houston at number 8. Don't You Want Me by The Human League at number 9. And I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith at number 10.
Look,
I'm actually surprised that Mbop is not on this list in the top 10.
I'm surprised. And then I'm surprised that Don't You Want Me is so low on the list. That song, I hear it once, I'm singing it all day. Don't You Want Me. That is my jam, okay? Like, I'll listen to Light FM just so that I can hear that song because I love it so much.
Oh, my gosh. So, the researchers trying to figure out why some songs stick with us for our entire lives. And they said that they have a hunch that there might be a certain musical quality that ties the songs together. So far, their answer is not exactly earth-shattering. And this is on Science Advice from New York Magazine. They said that although this is just a casual observation on my part, very strong melodic hook seems to be the most memorable for people, which is like, duh.
Yeah, hello.
It seems like lightweight bit of research with a fun online game attached, but they're hoping that there will be a better understanding of how to use music therapy for dementia patients. There's already been some research that shows that if you can find the right piece of music, something that had a very strong meaning, playing that piece of music can be very therapeutic. Mm. But the challenge is figuring out what the best piece of music is.
Huh.
So it's interesting. But Wannabe is the number one catchiest song in the world.
Awesome.
And I guess how they did it was 12,000 people played an online game called Hooked on Music, where they played snippets of the songs and they asked users how quickly they recognized the song.
Wow.
That was it.
Don't you want me?
I definitely want to play it later.
Oh my gosh, I love that song so much.
I'm gonna send it to you so you can play too.
Yay!
So what did you learn?
Now I want to sing the song. I was working as a waitress at a hotel bar. Okay, no more.
Did you hear my snaps?
Is true. Okay. So what I learned today is why we call our parents mom and dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Calling our parents anything other than mom, dad, or one of the many variations thereof is an almost alien concept to many, and in some cultures is considered downright rude. So why is it we refer to our parents this way? Where did it come from? And perhaps more curiously, is there any culture that foregoes this seemingly universal nickname for parental figures? The words can be traced back actually to the 1500s for dad and the 1800s for mom. As with so many etymologies, where these words were first uttered and by whom is a mystery. Even the Oxford English Dictionary has admitted that they have no evidence on where the word dad originated. The word mom, on the other hand, is slightly different, has a slightly different story, and is widely believed that the word was born from the much older word mama, which itself can be traced back to the 1500s in English. This, in turn, can be traced back to Latin, where mama meant breast or teat. From this word, we also got the word mammalia and mammal to describe animals that suckle their young. So that's where a lot of, you know, where people think that, you know, calling the woman mama came from. This brings us to the amazing part. A word extremely similar to mom occurs in almost every language on the earth. We don't mean that there is a word for mom in every language. We mean that the word for mom is shockingly similar across nearly all of the most commonly spoken languages on the earth. For example, if you wanted to address your mother in Dutch, you would say moeder. If you were to travel to Germany, on the other hand, you'd call her mutter. While over in Italy, you'd refer to her as madre. Now we know what you're thinking, that those are all European languages. So let's mix things up a little bit. And the words for mom or mother in some more, shall we say, exotic languages, from an English speaker's point of view, and see if you see a pattern. In Chinese, it's mama. In Hindi, it's ma'am. In Afrikaans, it's ma. In ancient Egyptian, it's mut. And in Swahili, it's mama. Yeah. So you can clearly see from the list that there's a very peculiar trend with mom in various languages, and that it's nearly pronounced universally with the letter M, mom, or M. If you're still not convinced or think that that perhaps people are, picking cherries here, for examples, there's a pretty exhaustive list on how to say mother in a number of languages. Now, as for the word dad, while there's certainly more variation in the ways to address your man mom in foreign languages, similar trends can be observed. For example, the word papa is present in several languages, including Russian, Hindi, Spanish, and English, while slight variations on it appear in German, papi. Icelandic is pabi with two b's and an i. In Swedish, it's papa, and a number of other languages across the globe. Likewise, in Turkish, Greek, Swahili, Malay, and several other languages, the word for dad is baba, or a variation of it. The current working theory to explain this fascinating phenomenon is that the words parents use to refer to themselves are derived from the babblings of their child during its baby talk phase. It has been observed that babies, regardless of where they were born in the world, naturally learn to make the same few sounds as they begin to learn how to speak. It has also been noted that during the babbling stage, babies will create what is known as proto-words by combining nonsensical combinations of consonants and vowels. And there's a really interesting part about the proto-words is that they're consistent across different cultures for reasons that really aren't clear. The words babies make in this babbling stage tend to use the softer consonants like B, P, and M, often leading to the creation of otherwise non-words like baba, papa, and mama by the child in question. So it's further theorized that, as these are often the first sounds babies are able to make consistently, parents came to use them to refer them to themselves, to refer to themselves, which explains why the words like mama, papa, dada, tata, and baba are present in so many languages as a way of addressing one's parents. So there you have it. That's the reason why we call our parents mom and dad.
Wow. Yeah. What do you call your parents?
That's funny. I was going to ask you that. I call my mom mommy and I call my dad daddy.
I call my mom mama and my dad daddy.
Yeah, because like some people like, oh my God, that's so childish. You still call your mom mommy. She's always going to be my mommy. Like,
every once in a while, I'll call my mom mommy. Like, if I'm saying goodbye.
Aww.
Like, bye, mommy. But that's, she's in my phone as mama.
Yeah. My parents are in my phone as mommy and daddy. Yeah, and that's what I call them. So I always want to hear, like, what people call their parents. And, like, how this article said, like, sometimes it's downright rude to not address your parents as mom or dad. Like, I'd be looking at kids funny when they call their parents by their first name. What?
That can be a little funny.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be like, excuse me. Don't, hello?
No.
No, we don't do that here.
No.
Like, what is going on here? Why are you calling her Linda?
Get out of my face, Ronald.
Oh, my gosh. Look here, Vincent. Vincent sounds like a daddy name, don't it? Vincent, get out of my room, Laura. What?
Oh, man. I tried calling my mom by her first name one time when I was, like, mad at her. But my mom likes that.
Oh, yeah. I do that to my mom, too. Well, now as an adult, I would have never pulled that shit when I was a kid. She would have ripped my fucking lips off.
I definitely did when I was in high school, like, leave me alone, Angela.
Oh, yeah, 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 definitely. In high school, when I, you know, when I could drive and get in a car and drive away.
She was just like, huh. Like, it did not faze her.
Yeah. When I could get into a car and drive away, oh, yeah, I got away with a lot more stuff. Like, oop, I could run into my car and leave.
Oh, man.
What do you guys call your parents? We want to know.
I think Baba is cute.
Yeah, Baba, I've heard Hindu, Indian people, that's what they call there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot with them. And, like, my friend, she was from Suriname. And they call their, like, mothers are called Ma, and the father is Pa. Ma and Pa.
You know what? I kind of like Pa, too, or Papa. I don't know why. I've never heard anyone call it, except, like, you know, on the farms and the books that I'm reading.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've never heard anybody call anybody Papa.
But I still think it's cute for whatever reason.
Yeah. Papa, only Papa I know is Papa Bear.
Papa, don't preach.
Oh, yeah, she sang that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
She was in trouble deep.
But with, like, I know Haitian and French kids, they call their dads, Papi. And with Hispanics, they say Papi.
I do think it's weird when people say mother and father.
Oh, you know, I have a friend of mine who does that, and she calls her sister, sister, and her brother, brother.
Get out of here.
I swear to God, I was like, are you the fucking Berenstain Bears? This is weird.
Just gonna say that.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on.
But then, like, and then, like, you know, the parents refer to the children that way too. Like, they don't call them by their name. She's like, they call the brother brother, and I don't know what they call her because there's two girls. So I don't know how. I don't know if they say sister and sister or big sister and then little sister. I don't know how they say it.
Oh, wow.
But nobody is called by their first name in that home.
Hmm.
And I found that very peculiar and fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah. Mother. Like, I only call my mother mother when she getting on my nerves. Look here, mother.
That is so rude.
I know.
So rude, like...
She would rather me call her by her first name than to call her mother.
There is no love in mother.
There to me, there isn't. My goodness. It's kind of like calling a woman a female.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because anybody can be a mother.
Right, exactly.
It takes someone special to be a mommy.
Okay,
we're moving on. All right. So, well, it's TV time.
No, I said, which wine did you have tonight?
Oh, I had one.
Didn't you tweet about having a wine?
Oh, I had Shiraz.
Me too.
Oh, I didn't hear what you. I thought you said which line did you have tonight? I'm like, I had a line. What are you talking about? Yeah, I had some Shiraz
with my dinner. Shiraz.
Yes, so did I. That's exactly what I had, and it was delicious.
I loved it.
Yeah. I definitely had it at Wine Club, and that was the day that we all got messed up.
This one's great.
Yeah. That was the wine that had us all on the floor.
Sidebar, I just searched Chewbuck Chuck on Twitter, and it really is still $2 in California.
Oh, still is?
They just raised the price to $2.50.
Oh, wow. See? I guess we're paying for inflation here in New York.
Yeah.
And for it to get over here. So that's fine. I'll pay the dollar for it to be transported. It's fine. That's fine.
But yeah, it's TV time.
TV time. So we hope you've done your chores and your homework because it's TV time. So what do we have?
So, listen. If y'all ain't seen Orange Is the New Black, season 2 right now. Tough titties for Brooklyn, as my mom used to say.
Tough titties.
So it turns out that B is not going to be returning to Orange Is the New Black next season. B was played by Lorraine Toussaint. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like up in the air. Well, I assumed that she wasn't dead in the very last episode of Orange Is the New Black. Rosa, she ran her over, and we just saw her laying on the ground. So people were like, she's definitely dead. And I'm like, well, with Orange Is the New Black, or just TV shows in general, like, you never know.
Right.
She could have easily been brought back to life. Someone could have found her or whatever. But she is not going to be back in the next season. So at first, she couldn't confirm whether or not she was going to be there. She had said to BuzzFeed, she could be dead, she could not be dead. That's an open-ended question still. Isn't that a scary proposition? She might need to be dead. I don't know. But they definitely confirmed, Netflix confirmed that she was just not going to be in next season.
Mm. Okay, good.
You weren't feeling it, right?
No.
She played such a good villain, though.
She did. She played a good villain, but I was tired of her. I was tired of her and her shit. Like, oh my god, this bitch is running shit and, like, will not stop. Like, we get it. You're the boss and you're smart and you know where all the grounds are. And now you're taking over other people's spots, so now they can't make any money either. Like, this is some bullshit. I was over it. So I'm glad she's dead. I'm glad she ain't coming back. So, but we'll see who the next villain is.
I know, because, you know, the first one was Kentucky. Now this one was B. Yeah, the next one has to be someone pretty interesting. And I wonder if they'll, like, really bring Piper back into the show, like how she was the first season.
Mm-hmm. I like the show without her. She got on my nerves.
I mean, she got on everyone's nerves, but I think that she was really meant to do that. But still, I mean, if there was no Piper, there'd be no Orange.
No, but, like, I was okay without her being on the show as much. Like, I liked learning more about everybody else. That's why I really liked season 2, because we really got to know the other inmates more, because I felt like we were always learning about Piper and her girlfriend and her this and her that and now her boyfriend and her grandmother and going home for furlough. Like, god damn, I'm sick of her already. There's so many other people on this show. So, and, like, we would only get, like, 5 minutes for the other people, like, per episode.
Yeah.
And then everything else would be about her. So that's what, like, so I really like, we got whole episodes about inmates. And that's what I like. So hopefully it'll be like that. It'll be like that again. Because I actually want to learn more about, like, the other Hispanic girls that are in jail.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have that in the third season. Yeah. I do want to know why Red is really in jail.
Yeah, yeah. So.
It's time. Yeah. That we know.
It definitely is time. And when is it supposed to come back?
Probably next year or July, like it did year.
God. That's so far away. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Oh, ma'am.
You sound so sad.
I do, but that doesn't matter. We have so many other good TV shows filling in their spot right now. We have Marry Me, which I love. I think it's so funny.
Marry Me is so funny. Like, I love all of the characters.
Me too. I love them all.
Right. Which is very rare.
Very. Because, like, some people are like, oh, you get on my nerves. But everybody has their role, and they come, like, they're not always in your face, and they come in right when they need to be. Everybody, it's great. I love it. I love the show.
Her friends are funny.
Yeah, they're really funny. And, the, I mean, the story, the you know, the script is written really well. And the storyline is actually pretty good. And I'm actually not worried about, like, oh my god, what's going to happen afterwards. Because you know what? The show is called Marry Me. So, they can get married and it's not going to be like, okay, now we're married. Now what? Now they get married and we get to watch them go through the same shit while they're married.
I love how they cut on the show and they move it out.
Yes, I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that's one of my favorite parts when they, like, bleep it out or, like, put the, like, the sensor over their mouths with the bleep, that's even better. I love it.
The Halloween episode was really good.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Was that the episode with the his, that's his brother, right? The fat, Zach Galifianakis looking guy?
No, I think that's his one of his really close friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
When he was in that buffet for like a day.
Oh my gosh.
That was so funny.
I could not deal. The song at the end, when they're changing the soups.
Yeah.
And they had their little ritual. Oh my god, I was cracking up.
He was like, that song you sing for me. And he was like, we're not singing it for you.
That's a ritual that you weren't supposed to be a part of. Like, whoa. You guys got to watch the show. Definitely watch that show. Watch Gotham. I'm upset with Mindy and New Girl. I hope they had a new episode on tonight. I mean,
Ethan.
Oh, good. Golly.
It was bad.
Good. I don't know what's going on with Bob's Burgers. But has football ever bothered them before? Like, what's going on?
Good point.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But guys, there's plenty of TV to watch while we wait for Orange is the New Black to come up, to come back. And yeah. We want to know what you guys are watching.
Yeah, and let us know what fall TV shows that you absolutely love, because there's been so many.
Yeah.
I haven't caught up on Gotham. I think I have an episode left, though.
I didn't watch yesterday's episode. Oh,
sorry,
Monday's.
I have two episodes left.
Yeah. I didn't watch Monday's episode, so I have to watch that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Last week's episode of Gotham was so good.
Really? So,
I cannot stress to you enough how good it was. You're going to be gasping and like, like, that's how good it was. Really good.
What's funny is, like, the guy who plays James Gordon, I feel like he always plays the same kind of character, like a do-gooder cop.
Mm-hmm.
He was the same on Southland, but like, I don't know, like it's a little bit different in this show, and I like it.
Yeah.
Like I like him more in Gotham than I did on Southland. On Southland, I was like, ugh, go away and show one of the other cops. I haven't seen you.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell us what you guys are watching. We want to know. So that we can watch some stuff too while we wait, because I think I'm all caught up on everything right now. On all the shows I want to be caught up on, at least. I'm caught up. All right, what's our next segment?
Our segment for the week is I'll Have a Bite of That.
I'll Have a Bite of That. What are we having a bite of?
Well, we both tried Dunkin' Donuts croissant donut, and it actually just came out yesterday. We both tried it already.
Yes. It came out on November 3rd. So basically, this is Dunkin' Donuts' answer to the Cronut. When the Cronut came out, you know, people were asking, like, Dunkin' Donuts, are y'all going to make one? Are y'all going to make one? And at the time, they were like, no, we're not going to. We're just going to focus on our great products that we have now. And for some reason, they finally did it. And I had one on the day that they came out. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. It wasn't anything for me to write home about. It was good. That's not the thing. But in my head, I'm thinking of a croissant donut. I'm thinking it's supposed to be this hybrid of a croissant and a donut. Normally, Dunkin' Donuts' plain donut is kind of flaky on the inside already anyway. So this croissant donut was just like a thicker version of a donut. But what I was expecting was the butteriness of a croissant, and I did not get that. And so that's the reason why I would probably give this 3.2 stars out of 5.
You know what? I would give it 3.5.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. It was glazed, and glazed donuts will forever be my favorite donut because it's like so simple. So
oh, yeah. Plastic, yeah.
So yummy. But it was very heavy on the outside. And the funny thing is, Dunkin' Donuts glazed donuts are not heavy.
No, they're not. They're very light.
So, it was a little bit interesting for the outside part of it. I thought the inside was good.
Yeah.
But when you did mention that you wish that it was buttery, I agree with you. I wish it was a little bit buttery.
Yeah.
But I hope that they come out with more flavors for the croissant donut. It's like, Dunkin' Donuts, I mean, they rarely do any wrong.
True.
In my books, or my book. But, yeah, I want to see a little bit more variety. Like, the fake Cronuts that I had cream. So, and I don't want want Boston cream in there.
Yeah.
I don't think that would do well with it, because that's what crumbs did, and it was yucky to me.
Oh, well, anything crumbs makes is disgusting.
So I'm hoping if they do decide to do that, that it would be, like, some, like, very sweet, light, and airy cream.
Yeah, something French, not Boston.
Yes. But all in all, I would say go and try it. It was...
Definitely.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but... I couldn't report, like, oh my God, this is really a croissant donut, mainly because I was missing that buttery factor. So, maybe Dunkin' Donuts, if you guys are listening, get back to the drawing board and add a little butter to that. And I think we will have a winner here. But another thing is, I've never had the actual cronut, so I don't even know what to base it off of to say, like, one is better than the other, or like the cronut had this and the croissant donut didn't have that, or blah blah. I don't have.
Well, as someone who's had several imitations, I will say that the ones I've had were a little bit lighter.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, that's it. I'll have a bite of that. That's what we have to share with you. And hopefully you guys will go and try it and let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, and it was only $2.50, and it's half the price of a regular cronut.
Right. And also right now, the flavor of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts is the sugar cookie, and it goes perfect with the croissant donut. It was delicious. Mm-hmm. I want to go get one right now. Anywho, well, I think it's cocktail time.
Yeah, it's cocktail time. What's our cocktail?
So the cocktail of the week is the Parental Advisory. So what you're going to need is 1 ounce of bourbon whiskey. Remember, guys, it's bourbon, so that means it was made in the United States of America.
Yes.
Okay. 1 ounce of bourbon whiskey, 1 ounce of cherry liqueur, 1 ounce of either cream or milk, and then a dash of triple sec. And you're going to pour all these ingredients into a cocktail shaker with ice. You're going to shake very well and then strain into an old-fashioned glass and enjoy the Parental Advisory. And that's it.
That's it. That's so simple.
Yeah, very simple and very delicious.
You know what? It's getting colder outside. Mine is today.
Yeah.
You know, bourbon and whiskey are wonderful for the winter.
Definitely. Nice drinks to warm you up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that the end of our show?
Yeah, man.
That's it. All right. Well, where can we find you, Ari?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Shereen. What about you, Didi?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well. Lucky Stars, LuckieStarz. And don't forget to go and check out Ari's blog, Overquirked. Aww, yeah, Overquirked and Unfazed. Good stuff there, you guys. Go and check it out. You can find us, the show, on Twitter, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/catnapsandcognac. Of course, we're on iTunes. Just search Catnaps and Cognac and you can find us there. We're on the Spreaker Network. And you guys can send us an email, catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com. I had a little bit of a brain fart. And send us emails if you guys have anything that you want us to talk about. You want us to check out a new TV show and you think it's going to be great. We should watch it. You want to email us questions for advice, for Ask Ari and Deeds. We definitely want you guys to email us that, because we haven't had any emails for that in a long time. So we need you guys to email us so that we can give you guys advice. I think I covered it all. Oh, and you can find us on our website, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com, and you can find all the episodes there. We even have a video on how to act at a barbecue. If you are somewhere where you can barbecue right now, that's definitely a video to check out. Y'all can't barbecue up here, so.
I mean, unless you want to, Nicole.
Maybe, but.
Which people have been known to do.
They do at it. You're right. Maybe outside in the cold grilling. But, anywho, yeah, so check out those videos. And I think that's it.
That's it.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
My parents are the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue, parents.
just don't understand. I remember one year my mom took me school shopping. It was me, my brother, my mom, oh, my pop, and my little sister all hopped in the car.